really excited for this new series we're going to go deeper in. Over the summer, we talked about the importance of worship. All through the fall, we talked about the importance of education of God's people and having an understanding and a knowledge of God. And now we're going to take the time to talk about the importance of mission and the mission of God as we understand him in Jesus Christ. So I'm excited as we study God's mission in Jesus. We're going to study the book of Mark, and I encourage you in your own time to study Mark. It's very powerful. Our first reading for today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. I invite you to read along in your Bible or to follow along in your bulletin. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you do open the floodgates of heaven and let your Spirit rain on us in this moment. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our hope, our strength, our rock, our joy, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I've come to find that introductions are important, but they're not always easy. At a dinner party, if you're talking to someone or someone you've met or someone you know and you realize that there's a connection or you've finding out what their gifts are, and then a good friend of yours walks up, you pretty much have like this 20-second window where you can introduce one person to another. And you want this person to your right to get to know this person on your left because you realize that what you're learning about the person on your right can have a great impact for the person on the left. And so introductions, as important as they are, they're not always easy. Sometimes you might forget the person's name on the left and trying to remember exactly all the details of the person on your right. And you might fumble over those words a little bit, but what you know is that the introduction of these two people to get to know each other is critical. It's important, and it must happen at a particular moment. In our text this morning, we are seeing John introduce Jesus to the people in his community. John the Baptist, we know, has been raised up. The main purpose of his life is to introduce the Messiah, Jesus, to the world. John's life, his whole life, was cultivated for this purpose and for this moment. We remember in our readings during Advent that before John was born, he did a little leap in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary, the mother of our Lord, in the house. He was born to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." God nurtured John. The Spirit of the living God rested upon John. John's life was even a little bit different from the rest. Eclectic, maybe a little nerdy. He's got the camel hair and the sandals and the crazy leather belt, right? Got the locusts and the honey. His sole purpose was preparing the way, was getting hearts ready so that he could introduce people to Jesus. And what John knew from the time he was in his mother's womb to that time where he was standing in the waters, calling people to prepare the way for the Lord, he knew that once people had an encounter with Jesus, that their lives would be changed forever. You see, John knew that the Messiah was coming to set people free from sickness, from disease, from demon possession and oppression, from fear, from confusion, from tradition and bondage and sin. His entire life, God was training him to be prepared to offer his community an introduction to freedom. And with this as his whole life, his whole purpose, John prayed, he prepared, he prophesied, he prompted the people to come and be baptized with water, because the baptism that's coming is going to blow your mind. The one who is greater than me, the one who is so anointed, the one who has come to save the world and set people free, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and touch the thongs of his sandals. John said, this is the one that you have to meet. This is the one that you must get to know. He was introducing them to freedom. When I think about people being introduced to freedom for the first time, I can't help but to think of the system of slavery in America set up hundreds of years ago. I think of the escape routes of slaves and the many ways that they traveled on foot, on the backs of wagons, through the woods, and even through the waters to find their ways to freedom. The slaves were so committed to this movement of getting out of bondage that they even had songs encoded with the ways that people could get on the road to freedom. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Now we sing that song in church, we're like, that's so great, God's gonna make a difference through the cleansing and renewal of the waters. But this song had a code in it. In this song, there are lyrics that have been passed down, and if you look and you study the history of slavery in America, you can see that some of these lyrics talked about, you know, the water's gonna be chilly, and we'll be by that oak tree with the tall stem hanging down. God's gonna trouble the water. And so it was codes in there, so that people would know that if you get in the water, that the bloodhounds and the dogs can't follow the scent once you get in the water. And they knew that the water, lyrics that talk about the water being chilly and cold, and what they said is it doesn't matter what you have to face to get to freedom. All that matters is that you're going on the way to freedom. And so as I imagine these slaves in the cool of the night dipping their feet into the water for the first time, it was their introduction to freedom. They had a long way to go before they had to go through different states and maybe pretend and forge like they had some papers that they weren't supposed to have and link up with this person over here to make their way all the way up to freedom land. But those waters, those cool, chilly, dark, murky waters, the minute their toes got in it, it was an introduction to the freedom that they were hungry for, that they were longing for, that they were thirsting for. And it didn't matter how difficult the journey was going to be, because simply the introduction to freedom was enough to get them going the whole way until they were free. Friends, what you need to understand this morning, what you need to understand when you look at this text, when you see John preparing the way for the Lord, is that we live in a world where people are not free. People are literally living in pain and in bondage. People are slaves to sin. They're slaves to greed. They're slaves to lust. They're slaves to violence. They're slaves to spiritual oppression. They're slaves to depression. And people are trapped by the lies of the evil one, and they don't even know it. People are trapped by the lies that their families have told them, and they aren't even aware of how they're living. And someone has to introduce them to freedom. And someone has to tell them that freedom's name is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can set people free from the pain and the sin that tries to entrap them and tries to destroy them. And friends, hear me when I say this morning that this is simply not a story about Christians, about how Christians need to tell non-Christians or unsaved folk about Jesus. Because we have an epidemic within the church that there are a lot of unbelieving Christians. As one Christian writer talks about, he says there are Christians that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they've, yes, Lord, come into my life, I'm a Christian, thanks be to God. But then they stop believing that Jesus has the power to do miraculous works in their very lives, in the lives of their friends, in the lives of their families, in the lives of systems and institutions. And so even Christians have lost sight of their Savior's ability to free them and transform their lives and to make a way out of no way. And so the question is, who is going to introduce people to freedom? Who is going to look out on the plantations that surround us and see people living their lives like slaves and say, this cannot happen any longer. People need to be free. We have to get people on a freedom train. We have to introduce them to freedom and tell them that freedom's name is Jesus. My challenge to you this day, my challenge to you as we get serious about studying the Gospel of Mark and the power that Jesus has to set people free from their circumstances and situations right now. My question for you is, will you stand in the shoes of John the Baptist? Will you stand in this tradition and introduce people to freedom? Introducing them to freedom means that you will take on the responsibility and calling that every Christian has to tell people the good news of Jesus, the good news that he saves, the good news that he redeems. If you are going to take on this calling that you have, whether you like it or not, I'm going to invite you to do two things. The first thing you need to do is to know the one you are introducing. The second thing you need to do is to know the importance of the introduction. Let's go back to the first. Know the one that you are introducing. You see, in order to, you're at a dinner party, you've got the friend on the right and the friend on the left. In order to introduce the friend on the left to the friend on the right, or however that goes, you've got to know who you are introducing. Do you know the words of Christ, the actions of Christ, the power of Christ? Do you have in your own data banks, in your own experiences, times where God has brought you through? That is what it means to know God, know him in his word, and know him in your life. You have to know him if you are going to introduce him to anyone. And everybody that is enslaved to the things that are in this world, seen and unseen, you have the responsibility to know the one to whom people need to be introduced to. So you can't introduce people to Jesus if Jesus is a stranger to you. And so it is your responsibility to study the word, to make time for the Lord in your life. So that without a shadow of a doubt, if you only have 20 seconds to tell people how awesome Jesus is, you can do it at a drop of a hat, and people will be hungry to know more. So you have to know the one that you're introducing. The second thing you need to do is know the importance of the introduction. In the same way that abolitionists worked alongside slaves, there was an urgency to stop the slave trade in America because people knew that folks cannot continue to live and be whole if they are in bondage. You too need to walk with a certain level of urgency that if I need to introduce people to freedom today. When people tell you their problems, when they tell you what's going on, when they tell you how desperate and despondent people are in this society right now, there is an urgency for you to introduce them to Jesus. It's like seeing somebody homeless on the side of the road, and you know that just two blocks down, if they just walk down the block and around the corner, that they can go to a shelter where there's food, where there's medical needs being met, where there are social workers. It's like not telling them or not seeing the urgency that if I could just get you to get over here, everything that you need will be taken care of. This is our calling. This is our calling to introduce people to freedom, to grab them by the hand and point to those chilly, murky, dark waters and say, just come and dip your feet in the water. Just come and wade in it because God's going to trouble it and do something spectacular and amazing. May we be the kind of Christians who are excited and who understand the urgency of pointing people to freedom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand if you